Welcome to Holden Village. Today in the fabulous Fireside Room, today's speakers are Barbara and Mike Burr, and they will be speaking on From a Kid's Eye View. So let's listen in on Barbara and Mike Burr.
We're doing a series on stepfamilies, and tonight we're talking about stepfamilies from a kid's eye view.
And I am not a stepchild. And Mike is a stepchild.
And I am.
How many here are stepchildren?
All right.
You're an adult stepchild. So who else? Or have stepchildren?
Or grandchildren?
Step-grandchildren? Great. At the risk of boring everybody else who's been with us, we have been married for almost 7 years, and I have two children, and they're 10 and 13, and Mike has a daughter that's 11, and we've been kind of mucking through this for about 7 years, and figure we're almost at the stage of things really going well. We're not a fast family, we found out. We were an average family, even though we had done all the reading and all the research. Mike has his doctor of ministry in ministry to step families. And I've been along for the ride, reading all the books with him and keeping you honest,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we chose two books for the bookstore to purchase, and one of them is Making Peace in Your Stepfamily by Harold Bloomfield, and it is in soft cover in the bookstore. And then the other one is Strengthening Your Stepfamily by Elizabeth Einstein and Linda Albert, and that's a really good book, and it's kind of a workbook. And also today I found another book in the bookstore which we didn't order, and it's What You Should Know About Getting Along with a New Parent, and it's designed for children ages 10 to 12. So I immediately bought it. It looked great.
Why would they pick that little age span, 10 to 12?
Who knows?
I think, as you can see by our different books, that I don't know if I'm directly answering your question, but here's one for younger children.
Yeah.
And younger here. So I think they're just all in different age categories depending on what they can talk to them about, how much of their ability to understand. This one is one of my favorites. It's called My Mother Got Married and Other Disasters. And this is fiction. But it's great. And I'm going to just read you the very preface of this.
Okay, this is a book written for, what, 10 to 14-year-olds?
Oh, probably even a little younger. Okay. So, you ready? Step. A prefix meaning related by remarriage. Why didn't they talk about what step really means? About how it means stepping aside so that a man who's not your father can hold your mother's hand? And about how it means stepping out of a way to let a little kid scoot into the booth next to your mother so she can fold his pirate hat. And how it means stepping over a teenage girl who has taken your favorite spot on the floor, and now you have to watch TV from the uncomfortable chair in the corner. It's not that I hated the Russos, but I never put out the welcome mat and invited them into my life. Let's face it, a welcome mat's just one more thing for someone to step on. Kind of a play on that word step family. And we talked about, gave a definition of step family in some of our other classes, that it's the step part is from a derivative of stiop, that means derived from loss or bereavement. And I think that word is pretty much stuck through the ages. They've tried other names.
People try other names, because of the kind of second class connotation to a step, but step sticks. Blended family, some people use that, but it's like step sticks. you know, there's all of the myths that, to help it stick, you know, Cinderella and Hansel and Gretel and those. So it's something that we just have to deal with, I guess. But it, one of the things that we've noted in other sessions, it is important to have some kind of term for the difference in first-time nuclear families and remarriage families, just because of the different dynamics that go on.
And we try to avoid saying broken home or normal family. We try to use specific language to describe so that it's not a put down to anybody.
Yeah.
Do you?
One of the reasons is that I do individual and family counseling as part of my work in the church, and I have yet to find a normal first time nuclear family. So I don't know what a normal family would be.
So, do you have any guesses as to how many children in the U.S. live in a step family?
You need a percentage or
just a number.
I have to say 29.
It's a bit high.
20%?
Well, I have actually, it's one out of every six children.
It's about 16-17%.
Yeah.
Said about 7 million children in the U.S. live in step families. And then we gave some other statistics yesterday about 50% of first-time marriages will end in a divorce. And one out of every five children lives in a single-parent home.
But it's estimated that close to 50% of the children in the nation will live in a step family at some point in their lives. It's a popular configuration.
And 70 million Americans live in a step relationship. Like Tom said that his father remarried when he was 23. So you're part of one of those 70 million.
Yeah. Actually, I would doubt that figure just because the census folks don't follow, don't have very good tools for getting an accurate handle on how many people really live in step relationships. And if you were counting grandparents, extended family, I think you'd have a lot more.
I think it's a low figure then.
Yeah.
Well, we've got actually quite a bit of material to cover, but we still would like to stop at any point and discuss anything you'd like to bring up. So just raise your hand at any point if you want a further clarification. There's a lot to talk about from a kid's eye view in 1 hour. So, while some of the adults are in step families are not step parents, virtually all the children our stepchildren.
Say that again.
Okay, well, some of the adults are not step parents.
Yeah, in a step family.
In a step family. If you didn't marry someone with children, you won't be a step parent.
Oh, I see.
But all the children are stepchildren. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that choice. They automatically became stepchildren. I also like to remind people that we don't need to consider a step relationship always marriage. There are many people that are living together that are part of a step family dynamic, whether they went through the official ceremony or not. Okay.
You encounter the same kinds of dynamics now as there are more gay and lesbian relationships in committed relationship, and the dynamics in those families, while having some added dynamics, also have the dynamics of the step relationships.
Okay. The feelings of the stepchildren are the same emotions and feelings of all children. It's just that they're more exposed as a stepchild. Okay? There's love and hate, as in any family, but it's magnified. And there's sibling rivalry and competitiveness, as in any first-time family. But again, it's magnified. And insecurity and the search for identity are magnified. And I just really liked that concept. It's also actually the same for the parents that are involved in a step family. Certainly we have the same issues as a first-time married couple, but it's what is the saying? In your face, it's right there, magnified. It's coming so quickly at you, and that's what happens to the children. Any thoughts on that, children of step family? Any thoughts? Okay.
Okay, we wanted to deal with children specifically. Just because in the step family it is very often the children who have the hardest work to do in adjusting to the new family configuration, the new family relationship. And there are a lot of different reasons for this, and just wanted to go through some of those reasons why it's more difficult. We've talked in other sessions about the dynamics of loss in step families, that step families are always born of loss. There's been the loss of an original first-time family. The children have, in some degree, lost relationship with a parent, or actually with the both parents. If the children are living with a custodial parent, that relationship has changed. From what it was when both parents were there. There's not as much time, perhaps, with the custodial parent. The non-custodial parent is absent, you know, so there's no contact. Also mentioned in other sessions that the remarriage itself can be an occasion of loss for the children involved. For the adults who are remarrying, it's a time of joy. They've found love, a reconnection. It's a time of celebration. But it's not always the case with the children. There was a wonderful cover to the Lutheran magazine a couple of years ago, which had some articles on step families in the church, and it showed this couple, you know, up at the altar, and they're beaming at each other, and there's a child by each you know, on each end. And the two children are leaning over behind the happily remarrying couple, sticking their tongues out at each other.
Baby, remember seeing that?
Mm-hmm. But remarriage can be loss for the children for all kinds of reasons. Destruction of the relationship that the children had in the single parent family. Remarriage can often mean a change of homes, which can mean a change of friends, a change of school.
One young lady that was in our class last week mentioned it was a loss of being able, well, this was also partly divorce, but a loss of being able to be in the house with both your parents.
In the house, what?
With both your parents. That was a divorce loss almost.
Yeah, that was a divorce loss.
Yeah.
You know, the laws around remarriage means that the children have to all of a sudden get to know and live with a new person. And, you know, there are myths that happen in step families. And, you know, one of the myths that is very often operative with the adults is that, well, you know, I love this wonderful person. So my daughter, who I drag along with me, well, of course love her. It's this myth of instant love.
I think along with that, though, too, it's exceptional that the custodial parent most often is a objective bystander while this whole remarriage is happening. In my own case, my father's remarriage was a loss of innocence for me because my mother stopped being a nurturer and wanted me to become a co-conspirator against the stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
I was really forced, and so were my brother and sisters, to take sides and to see this person as the enemy. And we were not prepared as children to accept an adult reality or adult versions of relationships, and yet we were forced to.
Mm-hmm. So a loss of innocence.
Yeah.
A loss of innocence.
That wasn't in my book, but I'm wondering.
As the children confront perhaps the anger of the parent who is not remarried, I know in my own case, my ex was much more of a fly in the ointment of our family before she remarried. Once she remarried, it sort of took her attention off of it, and lessened the conflict. But one of the things that is real regular here that you're talking about is loyalty conflicts come up. Children don't know how to sort out relationships very well. You know, they're at a point in their life where they're still trying to figure out who's on first and what a relationship. You know, they don't even know what a relationship is, generally. And so are very often forced to cope with very sophisticated concepts that we sometimes have difficulty coping with as adults.
And also the other parent can really make it really an easy time for the child, or they can make it a really difficult time for the child. And I remember reacting in horror when Mike's daughter Ruth announced to both of us that, well, Mommy said I didn't have to like Barb or listen to her. and the child was not making this up. And so we realized for years she had been working under this misconception that Mommy had told her.
But
and so that really tore her with her loyalties.
Yeah, and the kinds of loyalty conflicts that kids come up with are real basic and don't operate at the rational level. They are things like, well, if I like this new woman in the house, am I being unloyal to my mother? You know, I love my mother, so can I love my stepmother too? My dad and my mother got divorced, and how does all of this work now? You know, who am I supposed to like? And if they're getting feedback from one parent that it's not okay, to like or appreciate this new adult, it makes for conflict, anxiety, and tension with the children, and that anxiety and upset very rarely comes out in a straight fashion because there won't be the trust there to express it.
It seems that the children have this
very clear scheme the way things work. And what you're just talking about, you know, you can't put two mothers in this place.
That's right.
This is something that persisted with my sister at 11 when my parents were divorced. I was 23 and gone to marry. But she kept saying, I want it to be back the way it was, because that was her scheme, you know. And so my father's remarriage just smashed that to bits. You know, she knew then it's not going to be that way.
Well, a story that we've told other times is about my daughter, who, we've been married 7 years, and her mother has been remarried for, 4 or 5 years? You know, and even last year, found a note in one of her dresses, saying, I wish my mother and father would get back together. But at one point after her mother's remarriage, I was talking with her, and she had expressed numerous times this fantasy that her mother and I would get back together. And she was trying to figure out how it would look to have if her mother and I got back together, and then there was Barb in the house and her mother's husband in the house, where would we all go, and how could we just all work it out so we could be one big happy family?
And the other side of that, the flip side of that, is my children do not have that fantasy at all. And my son, even years ago, said, I wouldn't want you to get back together again. All you ever did was fight. That was his perception. And my own theory, which is not in any of these books, but I still like to kind of test it out, is I think part of that fantasy of wanting remarriage may have to do with the proximity of the other parent. And while most of this was going on, his ex-wife lived in Seattle and we lived in Idaho, whereas my ex-husband lived 4 blocks down the street. And my children were able to go back and forth between homes. And so I
and
think part of the distance and the experience of your parent and how much you see both parents may play into this fantasy. And in fact, I was reading a story of an adult stepchild whose parents got divorced while she was an adult, and she kept praying that they would get back together again, but they both remarried, and then their remarried spouses eventually died. So in their 70s, they got back together again and remarried, and she said, I knew they'd always get back together again. So I don't know that it has anything to do with age sometimes.
Yes. Okay, there are other things, though, that increase the amount of stress and anxiety in children. Anytime that you introduce change into a person's life, be it positive or negative change, that heightens stress. Change is a stressful occurrence in life. And so, what do we do with kids? Is one of the things that we do is have them belong to two different households. When that kind of changing back and forth first starts, that's a very stressful kind of occurrence. And as adults, we aren't doing that, and so I don't think we always understand. It's a very common occurrence to have children visit the other parent, and for the first day or so when they get back, they aren't in a real good mood. Things are grumpy. It's a readjustment, and it takes a while for children to work into the pattern of living in two households, of learning what it's like to live with two different sets of expectations, two different sets of rules, two different living situations. And that can very often take 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years for kids to get into that pattern. And if the parents are not making it easy, if the parents are using the children as pawns in continual wrangling or fighting with one another through the children, that just makes it worse. Does this fit at all with folks?
I have experience. I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner, and one of my patients, it was a Monday, and that's the clue. He was 4 or 5, and I mean, there was nothing going on between us that should have caused it. And all of a sudden, I stood at the door, and he hit me in the stomach, and he said, I hate your guts. And I thought, gee, where does it come from? And so I asked him. He had been with his father, and he was just angry. I mean, it was Monday, and going back, and he just let it out on me. I was mm-hmm. I had nothing to do with the situation, but mm-hmm. and I have observed since and talked to people often. When they come back, it's very difficult. Some parents manage to be in harmony and make it as smooth as possible the transition, but if one is antagonistic, then the kids really suffer.
Yeah. But even when the parents are in harmony, there will be a readjustment time very often, especially if the children aren't visiting regularly on a continuous basis. If you have the kind of situation where the parents live across the country from one another, and so the children only visit on holidays and summers, you're going to have longer readjustment times because it takes more time for these people to figure out who's on first and what's happening.
Also, one of the things we found out that if the biological parents tend to discipline the children in the same manner, it is much easier for the children to move between households than if the children can behave in a totally different set of ways in one home than they are allowed in another. There's a lot of confusion.
I was just gonna say, most of this adjustment wouldn't have to happen. A lot of this happened, at the time of the divorce or the separation. Or does it start?
A bunch of it would.
Well, when you get married, and Daddy gets accused of changing ever since you married Barb because the child is obviously smart enough to see that the rules have changed from when it was single parent dad and one child to moving into a house where there are already 2 other children. That makes 3 children. Chaos is ensuing with 3 children. And so the rules have changed a lot. That's what makes the difference.
So the kids go through a stress at the time of divorce, and then one mm-hmm. parent remarries, they go through it all again. The other parent remarries, they
go through it again. Yeah.
And also, even for an example, when his ex-wife remarried and Ruth was living with us, that was Disneyland Dad and Mom's house over there. And then when she switched and went to live over there, then all of a sudden all those fun little times turned into daily routine. Boring, you need to set the table, you need to do this, you need to do that. Then there became a set of rules that was not in existence when she was just visiting there. So she had to actually learn about 3 different sets of ways to do things. And that's disconcerting. So the step parent, very often I think the step parent has been maybe more into the way you do things because you've got more kids. I think that's when the one child or 2 children that come into that, then they have to kind of move into that set of rules and expectations.
Okay. Other tensions that go on you know, there can be, you know, in the single parent time and during the remarriage time, you know, just continually trying to figure out, you know, where do I belong? And, you know, if the parents are tugging at the children in terms of loyalty, that can be a hard one. Generally, also there is a dynamic going on where, well, not generally, but often, where children feel responsible for what has happened with their parents, and they will feel like they should have been able to have prevented the divorce, or that they caused it somehow, and if they could just be different, maybe the folks would get back together. And so there is in the grieving process very often guilt has to be dealt with, that kids are feeling guilty over having caused the breakup of their parents and the destruction of the family. And again, you know, kids aren't rational about this stuff. You know, kids will make weird connections, you know, like, well, gee, you know, 4 days before Daddy left, you know, I spilled the milk. And he really got upset about it. And I bet if I hadn't spilled the milk, that Daddy wouldn't have left. And, you know, as adults, you know, we can see the obvious fallacy in the reasoning, you know, but for a little child, you know, that's powerful stuff, powerful feelings. And, you know, so, you know, one of the tasks of adults in the whole step-family situation is developing an ear for where the grief is happening. You know, so that you can hear that and ferret it out and help these people deal with the grieving that's going on.
I was just thinking in connection with children feeling to blame for ending the first marriage, I think that children don't really want to have the power to end the second marriage, but they also will do very many antagonistic things to try to drive the step-parent out. And here's a little joke where the boy's sitting behind the stepmother's chair and he's saying, "Oh, Martha, this is your conscience. Go back to your first husband." And so I think that children want to see that marriage, remarriage, breakup in one part of them oftentimes, and then they also, of course, don't want that to happen because that would shatter everything too. So there's conflictual feelings in there about that second marriage.
Which brings up another stress in the remarried family. Generally, and with the biological parents, the kids will know where the boundaries are. You know, by the time the divorce happens, or you know they will, in their experience of their biological parents, have figured out where that person's boundaries are and what's allowable and what's not allowable. Okay, you introduce another adult figure into the home, and this adult figure is an unknown. And one of the things that I claim is that in the job description of every child is the task of finding out where the boundaries are of any adult that they deal with. You know, and so one of the first things that, you know, that's going to happen with the step parent is, oh, where are the boundaries? And this isn't a malevolent kind of process at all. This is just a natural thing that happens. You know, so, you know, the kids find, you know, start pushing. Oh, well, how far can I push this? You know, and, you know, meanwhile, the step-parent's going, how far is this kid going to try and push me here? You know, and you know, if you're a nice guy like I am.
You know, it seems to me that there's something a little fundamentalism in this discussion.
Okay, go ahead.
As a parent, as a student, as a teacher, as somebody with a career and a life besides being a parent, I have to say, being a parent is the single most important part of my life. There is no job in the world to me more important than the bringing up and the raising of children. And yet, the whole concept of remarrying another person once your first marriage or something or whatever hasn't worked out entails that you are putting some other criteria ahead of the children, that my life in some other way is going to take precedence, or I'm going to find my own happiness separate from the job of raising children. Mm-hmm. And to me, in the step-family situation, the primary focus, at least while the kids are still in the house, has to be what is the healthiest, what is the best way to raise children. My own issues of loneliness or despair or frustrations at not getting along with somebody else's kids have to take a back seat to making sure that these kids are loved, appreciated, needed, and wanted. And to me, I may be frustrated as an adult, but if the kids feel wanted and loved, a lot of this stuff is not going to be an issue. To me, that's fundamental, and it just seemed like we were glazing over that and not really mentioning it.
Well, we actually addressed those subjects in previous sessions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And what you're talking about is the myth of what happens when you do get married. The myth of instant love, the myth of putting the children first, and so you're bringing up a subject that is really valuable, because that is the perception of the general public out there, and that's where the stepmother oftentimes gets the bad rap, because like our church members often expected me to treat my stepdaughter exactly as I treated my own daughter. But what they didn't know was back there at home at 7 o'clock before church, I was trying to get both of their hair braided and the stepdaughter was screaming at me.
And wouldn't have anything to do with her.
And so the perception from the public that hasn't ever been in the step family is often very different than what the realities are. So,
all I'm saying is I think the children in this whole issue need to be the center focus.
And right, and what I'm saying is that's probably actually kind of a myth to how the step family works. The couple relationship has to really almost take precedence, because if the couple relationship isn't strong enough, then there won't be a home that can be provided for the children. And then they are yet again in another divorce situation.
It has to do with the question of you know, what is parenting here, and in the step family, one of the things that we find is that the best way to do parenting is to have a strong couple relationship, which provides the context for the whole family. And it's then within that context that the couple is able to relate to the children in a healthy and a affirming and encouraging way. What we're have been trying to lay out here are the kinds of dynamics that happen with the children that heighten the anxiety and tension, and then heighten the likelihood for conflict, you know, within the boundaries of the family. And as we become aware of those dynamics, know, we can understand what, better able understand what is happening with the children, and better able relate to them in a caring way. Does that fit at all? Or?
I'm not sure. I think I know what you're saying, and I think it's probably very different than what we're trying to say.
Trying to discount the importance of unity with the parents. I think that's critical. But my son is 8 years old. He hasn't known his father. We were divorced before he was even out of diapers, and it would devastate him for me to remarry. It would absolutely shatter his world. And I just can't understand how people can be so cavalier about upsetting a child's life to that extent.
Well, you know, I can understand what you're saying, that the introduction of a man would drastically change his life, and drastically change perhaps his relationship with you.
The only way it could work would be if the person I remarried was just as committed to my son as I am.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the step family myths. That's what I married into, was you love me, you love my kid. But there were other factors. There was an ex-wife who got on the phone and said, "Don't you dare let Ruth call Barb mommy," the day we were married. You know, so there are other factors in there that tie into. But I married a man who said, "Love me, love my child." And that was an expectation that what we've gone over in some previous sessions, what was a myth, in a sense, that you can instantly love somebody else's child and committed to them in the same way. It's like taking a child to a daycare center. There's no way that the daycare provider will ever give your child the care and commitment and love that you as a parent would give them.
Well, then in that case, I would say remarriage is secondary to raising my child.
So
it has to be the most important.
So for what you're saying, for you, that's really important, and we can honor that.
Because the only way that somebody could have a committed relationship with your child is if that relationship was to grow over time. And that's one of the things that hopefully happens in step families. You know, as you recognize the kinds of stresses and dynamics involved with the individuals, you allow the space for the stepchild and the stepparent to grow a relationship that is unique to them. You know, it's not the same as a biological parent. You know, but it's as another caring adult in their life, and that kind of relationship takes time to grow and develop.
And also, Laurel, I think you have thought this out very carefully, and that's a decision that you've made for your life. And then I think there are some other people, probably like us, who end up meeting one another, and that, you know, biological fall in love thing kind of takes over. So it depends on where you're putting yourself into that position with being there to meet another person, and you know, so.
And you know, while the step marriage has meant change and anxiety for our children, it's, I think, also been a growing experience, and that they're ultimately the better for it. And You know, a lot of ways. You know, in all of our sessions, we've talked about how difficult step families are.
But we're smiling.
But you know, we're smiling about it, and you know, think that it's worth doing.
And I know in my situation, as I've said before, I was raised in a very authoritarian household with six children, and that is how I started with disciplining my children, very nurturing but authoritarian. And marrying Mike gave me another perspective that, you really didn't have to raise your children in this manner. There really are other ways of doing it. And that wasn't the message I was getting with my first spouse. What he was kind of doing things the same way I was. And I'm not so sure that was all that healthy. So if I'm looking for a gift out of this, I think the gift is of the two of us being able to mesh our styles and to come up with a more imbalanced style, with a more flexible way to raise the children. And I proudly say that my son, who has come from a broken home, is much more well-adjusted than the children in his class that are coming from first-time families where the dads are workaholics or whatever it is. He is so much more well-adjusted than these other boys in particular.
I think one of the reasons there is that her kids experienced their father probably 1,000% more since the divorce than they ever did before.
And probably a lot more than the kids in the first-time families, too.
Yeah.
Because their dad is raising them half of what I'm doing. Yeah. But anyway, we should probably move on to adolescent stepchildren.
Okay, what time do we have? Our
it's about 7:04.
Okay, well, we wanted to, pardon us if we've already read this to you, but we wanted to read this again. This is an article written by a young man who is the son of a pastor who was a friend of ours, and I think he wrote it shortly after his father's remarriage. I think he was about 16 or 17 when he wrote it. And so if you just want to sit back, we'll read it for you. Did we read it when you were in here? Okay, good. Okay. The merging of two households is a scary thing. After almost a year and a half of living in a house exclusively occupied by males, my dad went out and got married. Not only did we acquire an old lady in the deal, the one he married, but she brought her pipsqueak daughter along with her. And if that weren't enough, these females brought a whole houseload of junk with them, including a gargantuan grand piano. It was extremely rough at first, but I toughed it out for my dad's sake. The first major change took place in our eating habits. After a year of fast food, pizzas, and microwavable entrees, we got some real meals. They actually required more than 4 minutes and 23 seconds of preparation. I must say that this was a change for the better, but it was rough learning how to use utensils again. Don't get me wrong, I love music, but my stepsister's clarinet practice has driven me past the reasonable limits of sanity. I'm sure she's a real virtuoso in her elementary school band. However, I always think her house is on fire when she starts playing solo in her room. As an added bonus, they conveniently placed the piano above my bedroom. Another thing that really is getting to me is their tendency to meddle with my stuff. I live a very organized lifestyle and don't appreciate anything that interferes with my daily routine. If I leave a piece of pizza on the floor, I plan on eating it the next day. Likewise, if I leave my underwear on the bathroom floor, I plan on wearing it the next day. My stepmother thinks she's doing good by picking things up, but she's really throwing my whole day out of whack. This reminds me of another problem. When I go hunting for my underwear in the dryer, I end up pulling out things like bras and panties. I'm not sure about other guys, but I don't enjoy standing in the laundry room with women's undergarments in my hands. What if one of my friends caught me in there with the Playtex panties in one hand and a cross-your-heart bra in another? No explanation could save me from the grief and embarrassment this would cause. This marriage has also taken a negative toll on my cat. Once a mild-mannered feline, Pierre now lives in fear of our new cat, Sheba. This cat, like the other females, is ill-tempered, moody, and enjoys scratching my beloved kitty. She also eats canned food, whereas my cat has always been perfectly contented with dry cat food. It breaks my heart to see Pierre cautiously walking around his own home, afraid that he'll be jumped any minute. The newlywed factor is also a problem. This is for adolescent stepchildren. Here we have two adults who act like a couple of teenagers whenever they're together. Actually, I shouldn't say teenagers because I never act like that when I'm around girls. It's rather embarrassing to be in a restaurant with the two of them sitting with their arms around each other smooching. I feel sorry for the restaurant's other patrons. I'm related to them and I can't even stomach their displays. I better stop now or they won't give me the card this weekend. As a matter of fact, everything I just wrote is a lie. Besides, anyone who keeps the refrigerator stocked with Coke and lends me money can't be that bad. Welcome aboard, Cheryl. She's really not that old. And Janine, the nicest little pipsqueak I know. He brings up an awful lot of points in there, doesn't he?
There's some laughter here. There seem to be some points that struck home more than others.
Well, I'm sure if Mark were here, he'd talk about the pizza and the underwear too.
did any one part sort of strike you? I like the part about the cat and the animals having to interact too.
Is there such a thing as a step cat?
Yeah, a step cat.
Step cat. Oh,
just. Yeah.
Public places.
Public places. Huh?
I hate it. I hate going. Like, honey, 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 dance.
He said, I don't even do that.
It's true.
Confession time. There's another good joke about this in here. I'll save you from something to do with the same thing about my parents smooching, and it's getting so embarrassing. And actually, it's not even limited to teenagers. Because what happens in a first-time family is you've probably been married a few years, and then you have a baby, and then...
That's like dropping a bomb on the family.
Yeah, this is... Yeah. Well, but I'm saying in a first-time family, you know, you're married a few years, you got the honeymoon period, and then you have the baby, and then the baby, and then you're dealing with dirty diapers and all, and
by the time the kids get to be teenagers, you know, you've been married for...
Or even the younger ones.
Some 13 years, at least.
And you probably are
generally
running around smooching and all those things.
And so some of the passion of the newly formed relationship, you know, has just naturally worn off. And, you know, the step family, you know, there's, you know, all of that newfound passion still there. And the couple expresses it, you know, and the kids are walking around going,
it's not even the teenagers, it's the little ones. They were kind of going, oh, yuck at us too, so, and they weren't really that old. But, you know, there is a lot with the sexuality that has to be, you know, aware of, where you've got teenagers and then you've got a new stepfather and the issue of, well, you know, they ran around, and I think that family, they were all boys, and they ran around in their underwear all the time, and then there's stepmother, and all of a sudden there's the issue of modesty that hadn't been addressed before, and there's a whole lot of negative stuff with that too, which I won't really go into. And then there's the issue of children of the couple. And we always kind of make a joke. People would ask us, well, do you have an R's? And we always said, no, we wouldn't know who would pay the child support if we had another baby. And who would take care of the baby when we went on a vacation? So, that was kind of our joke. But oftentimes, and I think this is true in adoptive situations too, where there's children from one spouse, and then they have children together, there's a definite feeling of jealousy and displacement by the children that are already there.
Because, whereas if there are children of both spouses.
Yeah. Then the children of both spouses, then oftentimes the new baby is the bridge. It's everybody's half-brother or sister. And I think, like I said, you see this in adopted families too, where they've adopted a child, then 6 years later comes along the baby they weren't expecting. And there's some issues with that. But I have seen in the step families where the father has one child, the mother's never had any, the mother gets pregnant, has the child, She's been feeling really pretty good about this stepchild for all these years, and then along, bam, comes this biological child. And it is so obvious to everybody that the mother has different feelings, and that's real scary for that stepchild. So.
Okay. And then, last, there are also step families formed where there are, adult children. Adult step children. And, that sometimes creates issues too. Vischer and Vischer in one of their books here talks about a woman whose father divorced, mother died, and anyway, he gets remarried, and the woman comes in and completely changes the house that this woman had grown up in as a child. Her mother had been an interior decorator and had all kinds of things that she had loved, and the new wife just got rid of them and redecorated the way that she wanted, and all kinds of resentment about that.
There's also
about destroying the sense of home, and the issues aren't just limited.
And there's also the issues
to small children
of money. Oftentimes, when you're marrying with young children, you don't have much money, and you are dealing with wills, but not to the degree that you're thinking, "Oh, I'm going to die." Whereas when you're dealing with people in their 70s and 80s, the children want to make sure that the money goes to them and not to the new spouse. And I remember his stepsister hauling off his mother and her new to-be husband to the lawyers to make sure that they had prenuptial agreements, because they did not want the money messed with. And that's a big deal.
Now you were also talking about Dick being
a... Yeah, a co-worker of mine, his 75-year-old mother is remarrying after being a widow for some time, and it was just a real happy occasion, but boy, he was upset, didn't want to go to the wedding. It was just very traumatic for him that his mom was remarrying.
He's 50 years old.
So yeah. It's not just limited to young children.
Okay, comments, questions?
This was really fast.
Yeah.
What about the grandparents?
Aha.
Not something that we've dealt much with, but a lot of issues.
Negatively. Negatively.
Yeah.
They've dealt with it positively.
Yeah. Can be a lot of issues with grandparents, especially where grandparents are disenfranchised. Where the custodial parent discourages any contact, for instance, with the parents of the ex-spouse. And I've run into numbers of cases where that has been real painful issue for the grandparents. Grandparents who obviously love their grandchildren, have been very involved with them, and all of a sudden are cut off.
I know of one case where they actually had it written into the child custody agreement that the grandparents would see the children many times because there was such friction.
And some grandparents have even gone to court to gain legal access. Were there other issues there that
No, I was just wondering what problems.
Well, we had an interesting almost to be problem that turned out okay because we communicated well. But last year, Mike's daughter went to stay with Mike's mother, and they had a wonderful time. And she was doing that because we were going away for a week, and my kids were off. So she said, "Well, we really want to have Ruth again this year." And so we were trying to arrange a week when Ruth was there, but with us, but not my kids weren't there, because my kids think of her as their grandmother. We got married when they were pretty young, so she's their grandmother.